the columnist for the Register Guard. Find his work on the cover of the Guard Sports section. Follow on Twitter at Austin Meek RG. Austin, how you doing?
Hey, Steve, I'm good. I just want to assure you that all my comments today will be 100% original. I'm not plagiarizing from anybody, not reading off a teleprompter. This is all me, baby.
I love it. No looking over anybody's shoulder on this show. you know, last week you wrote about July 14th, and it wasn't so specific the date, but the day. Now we get the Home Run Derby, the All-Star Game, then 2 days off, and that last day, Thursday. We know it's coming every year, and we're supposed to be sort of grown-ups. So how amazing is it that we actually like get thrown off a little bit because there's not a game we like on?
Yeah, I felt like I was going through caffeine withdrawals. Like, you have a day where you don't get your coffee in the morning and you get the shakes. That's kind of how I felt without a game to watch. You know, I tried to enjoy it a little bit because as much as I love sports, I'll admit it can get a little bit overwhelming. It's like every night of the week now there's something to pay attention to. So I tried to use that time to relax and recharge a little bit. And, you know, by the way, I probably got 5 or 10 emails from people saying, hey, what about the British Open? What about the Tour de France? What about Legion Baseball? Just to remind me that there is truly no such thing as an off night in sports.
Well, I think what was important to note is I'm a huge golf fan, but you mainly talked about once you got home from work. So the British Open, because of the time difference, was over before breakfast for most of us. So, yeah, once you get down to Legion Baseball. And what was the other one they said?
Tour de France.
Oh.
You're into that. Yeah.
Wow. If that's what you're resorting to, it might be time to really reevaluate your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then, of course, when you want to talk about critical issues, media days for the major football conferences, Thursday and Friday, the Pac-12. And one of the stories that seems to just always stick, possible expansion. So I guess the athletic director at Houston, Hunter Yurecek, met with Larry Scott. What do you make about that program maybe joining the league and how logical it is? Because then you kind of have to add a 14th, right?
Well, first of all, you've been on the air, so have you seen the big breaking news that just came out about the Big 12 saying that they are going to go forward with expansion?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised,
there's
a guy from Oklahoma, David Boren, president.
Boren, yeah.
There. Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, so the dominoes are starting to shift already in the expansion landscape, and we did see that story come out about Houston making contact with Larry Scott to talk with the Pac-12. You know, what all this is setting up for is basically, you know, I've always been a believer that at some point in the next 10 years, we are going to see the 5 major conferences become 4 16-team conferences.
Right.
And what happens now over the next 10 years is all about these conferences positioning themselves to survive the purge. You know, who's going to be the conference that goes away when we go down to 4 major conferences? And we saw in the last week the ACC announce that they're signing a grant of rights and they're going to be launching a network within the next 5 years. So I think what we're seeing from the Big 12 today might be a little bit of a reaction to that of, hey, we got to make sure we get our house in order and solidify our position as much as possible because the ACC is doing the same thing. So how it pertains to the Pac-12 is, you know, I think the Pac-12 is in a, you know, a fairly advantageous position here where they can sort of wait and see what happens with these leagues like the Big 12 and the ACC, you know, who from those two leagues, you know, becomes the weakling or the weak link, and then the Pac-12 can be a little bit choosy and say, you know, are we going to have an opportunity to pick off a couple teams from one of these weaker leagues at some point when this big shift happens. So I don't think the Pac-12 at this point is really has Houston on the radar. I think the Pac-12 is probably thinking bigger than that.
You know, kind of adding all this up on the fly, the conversation that some people have, five conferences, four playoff teams, what's the problem here, kind of like musical chairs. If, in fact, they do take progressive steps towards four super conferences, does that, you think, more solidify what the selection committee always says, that they are married to a four-team playoff for the immediate future?
Well, the math definitely would make a lot more sense with four conferences. And I tend to think that's the direction we go, that the conferences go from five to four, as opposed to the playoff going from four to six or eight. I think the first step is maybe the formation of the four 16-team conferences, just because the math makes so much more sense. If you expand the playoff, there's just not a great way to make it work, you know, with eight teams. It's, you know, you've still got the basic math problem of, okay, you've got five leagues, so how do you get these eight teams in here? I think it makes a lot of sense that when that Big 12 grant of rights expires, that's when we see that move into four conferences. And that really answers a lot of the questions we've had with the playoff. And, you know, maybe that puts to rest a little bit of the question about playoff expansion.
We're talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. As far as the teams who are still in this conference, you had a semi-tongue-in-cheek piece about one question for each Pac-12 coach. And a little over a year ago, when Gary Anderson left Wisconsin for Corvallis, I was kind of floored. The first season here, a disaster over the league. Do you really think if they hit the skids again and don't show substantial improvement that he might be A, in trouble, or maybe second-guessing that career move?
Well, I think the second scenario is very possible. I think reality could be setting in for Gary Anderson that, you know, maybe at the time there was some friction with Wisconsin, and it felt like a really liberating move to get out of there and to get a fresh start. But now in year two, still looking for his first Pac-12 win, that's when you sort of start to settle into the grind and realize, boy, this is not all that it was cracked up to be. I don't see Gary Anderson being under any pressure at Oregon State unless this year is just a complete disaster. I think they'll be better this year, and I think he'll go into year three, with feeling like this thing is in better shape. But they've got a long climb to get back to being a contender in the Pac-12 North, and everybody in that division is getting better. It's not an easy division. So if I was Gary Anderson, I probably would be feeling maybe a little bit of buyer's remorse at this point.
Let's throw the spotlight on the Ducks. Obviously, the quarterback position is critical. And as important as that is, let's not forget they lost pretty much their front seven, including the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. And those are their best players, some of them, from a unit that was kind of awful at times last year. Logical to say that better remain pretty high on the list of concerns entering this season.
Yeah, that's kind of the question with Oregon every year is, where do you put the focus? Because offensively, they've been so good that they could get by with having a pretty porous defense. So, one way to look at Oregon this year is to say, hey, if they get the quarterback play that they had last year from Vernon Adams when he was healthy, they'll be able to survive some bumps and some ups and downs on defense, as long as that quarterback position is okay. Now, the other way to look at it is Oregon has relied on its offense so much every year and put so much pressure on the offense to produce. This year, not knowing what they have at quarterback, knowing that they're going to have a first-time starter no matter what, it's time for the defense to pick up a little bit of that slack. You brought in Brady Hoke for a reason, and that defense needs to take a step forward and take some pressure off the offense, because realistically, the quarterback is probably not going to be Vernon Adams at his best.
Right.
I don't think we'll see that level of play from the quarterback this year. So they probably are going to need the defense to be at least a little bit better than it was last year.
the Oregon offense calling in its markers. Let's move to Big 12 Media Day. A colleague who worked years at the Oregonian, now at Sports Illustrated, Lindsey Schnell, wrote about what Bob Bowlsby said in Big 12 Media Day, the whole Baylor horror. And for those who didn't see it, it was, well, you combine alcohol, drugs, and 18 to 22-year-old hormones, things like this are bound to happen. Oh, my God, how concerned should we be about this tone-deaf, victim-blaming attitude of a guy like that who's in a big position of power?
Well, I always, my impression of Bob Bowlsby when I was covering the Big 12 was that he was a pretty sharp guy and, you know, former AD at Stanford, so you got to be pretty intelligent to get that job. But
right.
I'm guessing he would like to take those comments back. That does not sound good at all coming from the commissioner of a conference. You know, the Big 12, just, I don't know what it is about that league. They can just never get everybody on the same page. Whether it's expansion or this Baylor thing, there's just always somebody saying something stupid in the Big 12. And, you know, the way they've handled this Baylor thing at Media Day is just it kind of makes you cringe. Bowlsby said some things that just it didn't really make sense. And what he needed to say was just very clearly and convincingly let everybody know that they're not going to tolerate what happened to Baylor, that they don't condone it in any way, shape, or form. You know, it's not that hard. It's not a real complicated message that you have to deliver on that. But somehow it still ended up getting kind of muddled. And even that, you know, Jim Grobe, the coach at Baylor, some of the comments he had today, just, you know, saying that he didn't think they had a culture problem there.
Jeez.
Come on. How can you see what went on there and not conclude that there is a culture problem? And I don't know what they have to gain by not just acknowledging that. It doesn't make sense to me.
Now, from what I understand, final thought on this, this is still an ongoing investigation. And, of course, for 2016, they're going to play football. But if it turns out that it's as bad as many say and that there's kind of this knuckle-dragging attitude where rape is a reaction to what a victim does, would you have a problem just saying, you know, for next year maybe, we got to burn this program to the ground. You don't get it. This might get your attention.
Well, you know, I don't agree with what Bob Bowlsby said or how he framed it, but I can sort of see what he was trying to say, which is that, you know, yeah, there's all this focus on Baylor, but this is a bigger problem in college sports. I do agree with that. So on the one hand, you could say, well, you know, we have one case here, a very egregious case. Let's make an example of this school so nobody does it again. I think there's some validity to that idea. But at the same time, I do think we miss a little bit of the bigger issue if we make it just about Baylor. Say, you know, let's give Baylor the death penalty. Let's shut down Baylor. And then, you know, maybe there's some sense of satisfaction, like, okay, we solved the problem. You know, we shut down a football program and everything's fixed. Obviously not, you know. It is a bigger issue, and I think that's what Bob Bowlsby was trying to say, but it came out all wrong. Somehow there needs to be a balance there. Yeah, Baylor needs to be punished for what happened there. And I do think it's appropriate to make an example out of them, but we also need to realize that it is a bigger issue, and just punishing Baylor doesn't fix the bigger issue.
All righty. Good takes, as always. Obviously, you could catch his work in the Register Guard. Catch up online, registerguard.com, on Twitter, at AustinMeekRG. Since I am officially on vacation in 2.5 hours, Austin, you have next Tuesday off, and we will chat the Tuesday after that.
Okay, well, I don't know how I'll get through it. I'm going to have the shake again with Tuesday Without Steve, but I'll find a way.
All right, Tuesdays with Steve. I think there was a book written by somebody in the past similar to that. Hey, thanks a lot, Austin. Have a good one.
All right.